Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Scottish Housing News podcast. This time we're looking at technology-enabled care in housing, and with us we have Geraldine Begg, who's the National Tech Organiser for the Scottish Federation of Housing Associations, and we also have Heather Dorling from Lowerburn Housing Association, who is the Later Living Services Coordinator. And if I've got that wrong, she's going to tell us the right title in a minute. And with me, as ever, is Kieran Finlay, the editor of Scottish Housing News, co-host of the podcast. So, Geraldine, where are you speaking to us from this morning?
Hi there, Jimmy. So I'm outside Glasgow and in a hut at the bottom of my garden.
And Heather, where are you this morning?
I'm here in a really sunny Dumfries, overlooking the golf course, beautiful sunshine, and I'll maybe get a wee chance to walk the dogs over there when we're finished.
And what was the title that I should have given you?
The Later Living Service Manager.
So I wasn't all that far away.
No, you weren't far away, Jimmy.
And morning, Kieran, how are you? The first podcast episode of 2022.
Yep, I'm very well, thank you. Good to be back. Thanks again to everyone who's listening and enjoying the podcast. The figures are great and the feedback's even better. But Jimmy, you've got your own experience in this tech-enabled care field from your time at Dundee Voluntary Action.
Yep, Dundee Voluntary Action, later to be Dundee Volunteer and Voluntary Action, gave me the opportunity to get involved in technology-enabled care and to be a bit of an agitator and to try and promote ideas. So I'm very biased in this. I'm very much in favour of technology. I had good fun for 5 years promoting this agenda. And of course, the thing that really pushed things forward was COVID. And I think maybe Heather will agree that COVID made an awful lot of people who previously weren't really interested or didn't know much about digital stuff, made them interested, so that very elderly people have been talking to their families online over iPads and goodness knows what else. And we're going to have a wee bit of a chat about that during the podcast. So we're going to come to Heather first. Heather, you're doing something called enhanced housing or extra care housing. How is that different from sheltered housing?
Enhanced housing, we did a service review probably coming up for 3 years ago now, and it was really about what the customers, what our tenants were asking. You know, previously we had been registered, we were sheltered housing, we were registered with a care inspectorate. Obviously, we had to work within the regulations now. The biggest change was at tenants' request because they didn't want support plans. Now, we've known for quite a long time, you know, when we would go to do a review or for a new tenant, we would go to complete a support plan. And it was almost like they're doing it to do us a favour. They know that we have to do this. So it was almost like, okay, then, come on then, well, let's do it. But they had no interest in it at all. What they really wanted was to make sure their repairs are done and that their accommodation is suitable and that they're getting all their housing matters, you know, and getting out and about and becoming more social. And so we did the review and we thought that was the best thing for our service and certainly for our customers. So we deregistered. We're no longer regulated, but they still have a real wraparound service. It sort of frees us up. The time, particularly if you have one later living, our staff are later living development managers. And if you have a manager that has 51 properties, then support plans and support reviews and the regulations and the training and everything else takes away from the stuff that's really important for the tenants, for the customers.
Where does the technology come in then to the service?
We've always had the technology in the development. It's always been, and it's a major part of what attracts customers. That, you know, they want the safety, they want the security, they want to know that somebody's going to be there in an emergency. So that was left, and of course there's a cost to that, but it's still housing benefit eligible. So that's a great comfort to the customers to know that it's still there.
What services remain then in enhanced housing?
We still carry out morning calls. All the properties have activity monitors. They're only monitored once in a 24-hour period unless a customer, maybe somebody's come out of hospital and they're feeling a bit vulnerable. We're able to change the time so we could maybe check in 3 or 4 times a day if they weren't active right through that day. But on the whole, it's once a day. We check activity monitors in the morning. That would tell us if somebody hasn't moved in that 24-hour period. They still have pendants. They have, if they need a pendant, they have pull cords. And the activity monitors, everything's linked. The fire alarm system is all linked to it. It's still the same. You know, we still also, if we're on site, we provide a response service as well. If somebody pulls a cord and there's an emergency, we will attend to it and then signpost and get the services in that are needed.
One of the things that I was trying to promote when I was working in tech was to be ready for the big change when all the analog telephone lines are turned off and a lot of the existing alarm systems which people operate won't work anymore. What does that mean for your service, and how far ahead are you with planning for that?
Do you know, we've been really lucky. We had a big restructure about 2015, 2016 of the entire organisation. And part of that was to look, we had our oldest development in Dumfries here, which was the first one, is almost 40 years old. We were beginning to see that our equipment is really becoming obsolete. We were having problems where we'd never had problems before. So we've actually spent a lot of time. I have to say our tenants have been the most patient. We've installed new fire systems, we've installed new emergency lights, and we've installed new telecare systems right through the seven developments. So we're digital ready.
Does that excite you? Are there new possibilities that the digital systems might give you?
I would be lying if I said I was really good at the techie stuff. I'm absolutely not. You know, for us, we want something that customers can use, that's safe, that's easy, and does exactly what it should do. But we're looking now as well at the add-ons. You know, I mean, as you mentioned, COVID really has. Everybody knows what a major impact it's had on our lives, not just the customers. So sort of looking at the customers, we're thinking that their mobility has deteriorated, their confidence has deteriorated. And if we had been, we actually installed Wi-Fi, communal Wi-Fi right through the developments during the pandemic. But if we had had that at the beginning, along with the new technical kit, it would have been so much easier. There's so much more that we could have done. But the customers, for that reason, they are much more switched on. I'm a bit of a technophobe. So we have customers between 55 and 105. You know, some of them, you would approach them and say, look, what about this? Shall we try that? Absolutely not. We're not doing it. COVID has made even those customers be thinking, you know, life would have been a wee bit easier. They could at least have had FaceTime with families and things like that. So it has switched a lot of people on that maybe wouldn't be so quick before.
Lorburn was one of the beneficiaries of the Connecting Scotland initiative. I think you guys received 40
yes.
iPads in May last year. How are you making use of these, and how do you plan to do so in the future?
That was a real surprise, actually. We went for that funding. We saw it right at the last minute. So it was a really sort of last minute application. And we were so lucky because we got 40 iPads. We spoke to all the customers. We surveyed who would be suitable through the criteria. And all of the team did, in fact, including our cleaners. Our cleaners did the training so that we were able to coach customers and teach them the low level stuff. We did actually, out of the 40, I think we had three that gave it a go and said, no, it's really no for them. And we'll look at other things for them. But we spent a bit of time coaching them, teaching them the very, very basics, you know, getting on Google, surfing the net, having a look at FaceTime. And we monitor that. Some of them are fantastic. Some of them are doing incredibly well. Very, very early on, we had a chap that we thought would never, that there's no way this guy, he likes his social life, he likes to be in the pub, he was very frustrated with COVID, and he was actually coming into the corridors and telling the customers that he'd been on YouTube and he knows how to fix all the hoovers now. So they were bringing him the hoovers into the foyer and he was using YouTube videos to fix hoovers. So it has been absolutely amazing. I think for us, we're a wee bit frustrated about the time. We would like to do more. We would like to spend a bit more time, but we are monitoring who's using it, who's struggling. We also pulled in some of the families as well and said, look, this is what you can do. This is what's possible now. And of course, it doesn't cost them a penny.
Heather, you also had a long-running project called Armed, and it was quite an advanced way of monitoring people's health. Could you tell us a wee bit about that and also why it came to an end?
ARMED was an initiative that we'd had a look at. It was initially, it was a sort of Fitbit wristbands that customers, we'd monitor customers' steps. Predominantly for us, it was about their steps, and the information would be uploaded to Napier University, and it was all about prevention and keeping people fit and healthy. Part of that as well was we would weigh them every day, and it would measure their body fat. There was so many things that we could have done and potential, but really quite staff intensive for us. And when we started at the beginning, we were that there was thoughts that care agencies would get on board, because for some of the older ones and some of the older customers that we had were quite keen to take part in this, but they weren't able to sort of charge phones or get the heads around the technology. We did run it for a while. The tenants were really interested. We had a real bank of sort of 16 or 17 at the finish up that really motivated them to get out and about and walk, and they would have big competitions about who's walked the most. The potential is there, but the capacity to staff it properly was really, really challenging.
You actually answered the question I was going to ask about the data being helpful to health professionals, but since that's no longer in being used, what lessons have you learned from that?
It's really important, but everybody needs to work in partnership. We I was saying to Jimmy yesterday, we refurbished and changed the use of what used to be the warden's flat in one of the developments. Oh, a few years ago, we put New First funding, and we had kitted what used to be a small bedroom. We kitted a wee room out with the cabling, with all the cabling in there, ready to do that. It was going to be a wee telehealth suite, so that the idea was possibly that the district nurses would come in and they would sort of take blood pressure, and that information would be sent off. I think, again, timing and getting everybody involved at the same time proved to be a wee bit difficult. So although we'd put it in, it was never in use. And we recently, probably pre-COVID now, we changed it, and it's now a wee kitchenette. The cabling is still there, the wire and the infrastructure is all still there, but was never used.
Geraldine, what Heather's saying about new projects, new ideas, new thinking, and trying to introduce ideas before everyone else is ready, is that a problem that's typical of the sector at the moment in this time of change?
Yeah, I suppose at the minute there's a lot of demands on staff, and in order to introduce something new, people need to be confident around the digital skills and what the opportunities are and what the time commitments will be. And there's always that trade-off, isn't there, between things that could really provide improvement and having to invest the time at the start. And so I think what's really good is when there are some pathfinders who are sharing and telling what their experiences are, so that other people can make a more informed choice and be able to see, you know, what the benefits are, who the benefits are for, and be able to weigh that up, not just to give the motivation, but to save everybody reinventing another wheel. You know, so, and I think that's been one thing that I find really brilliant with housing, is that everybody is so willing to share, and we're getting, you know, increasing gelling between our health and social care partnerships who are doing tech and our housing colleagues. And so all of this is helping to keep the momentum going.
Can I just ask you, though, does everybody really think that technology-enabled care has got anything to do with housing, in that traditionally you've had health and social care, health service, you've had housing. Housing's been very much about bricks and mortar. You know, where do the two things meet?
Okay, so to answer the first part of that, I suppose I'd talk a little bit about the Tech and Housing Charter. So the Tech and Housing Charter was launched by Kevin Stewart in 2019. And that is basically the founding block of our tech programme that I'm running at the minute. And it's based on 7 pledges covering key areas of technology-enabled care. So everything from the importance of that very initial importance of engaging with the customer and working in partnership to getting the infrastructure right, like what Heather's been talking about, the move from analog to digital is huge. Supporting the workforce and looking at preventative analytics, looking at ways that we can move to more proactive models. Now we've got 49 housing providers who are signed up to that already, so that shows you the interest. And that's housing providers from across registered social landlords, local authority, and we have one private housing provider as well involved in that. And when people have been invited, when people have signed up to the tech charter, they're invited to meet with us at the tech community. And this runs every 6 weeks, and we have meetups, and it's a peer support opportunity. So there's definitely a will there, as reflected by, you know, by the engagement that's going on.
One of the things that has been shared with the housing sector is the NHS Near Me system. Have housing associations been making much use of that to interview their clients over COVID?
Yeah, so when Near Me first started off, like you say, it was born out of the Technology Enabled Care Programme and out of NHS. And now that we've got our public licence that came in January last year, we were really quick to get that introduced in housing. The Technology Enabled Care Programme provided funding for a specific Near Me in housing officer lead on this. And so far, we've had a great uptake. It doesn't need to be used purely for health and well-being. It can be used for any aspect of housing. And so we've had examples of Link Housing, for example, who've been using it to do support planning with some of their tenants, where it's appropriate, where people have the right devices and where they want to do it. You know, this is an option. But equally, it's being used for repairs. So if somebody is saying, look, I've got something that needs to be done, to triage that, or the equivalent in housing terms, then they can show what the problem is. And, you know, if somebody has an underlying health condition or is already anxious because of everything else that's going on in the world, and this is a way to speed up that process, brilliant. Equally, we do have the enhanced services, enhanced housing, some of whom have been supporting their tenants to access health services using Near Me, because it's the same, you know, it's the same system. So everybody's getting more familiar. And I think one of the things just to mention about Near Me is that with health using it and housing using it, and now some of the social work services within health and social care partnerships are using it, with the Citizens Advice Bureau using it, it means that it's a better experience for tenants, because, you know, it's something that everybody is getting more familiar with.
Geraldine, if you're lobbying the government for more support to get more social landlords involved in tech, or to further assist those that are involved, what are the main issues? I mean, funding's obviously very important, but are there more actions that could be taken?
Well, I must say, Kieran, in terms of lobbying, we're pushing an open door. The value of housing is very much accepted by the Digital Health and Care Directorate within the Scottish Government, which is where the tech programme sits. So one example of that, as we've mentioned, the analog to digital switchover, which is so critical. And when our programme started up, housing wasn't receiving any financial support or any practical support to make that transition. Health and social care partnerships, on the other hand, had been receiving this for quite a while. And so through the tech programme, we surveyed our housing colleagues, and resoundingly, they came back and let us know what types of support they would benefit from. And this was brought to the tech programme, who immediately said, well, yeah, let's get housing involved. And so we've had a funding call that has gone out where housing was equally, in fact, we've had two funding calls where housing was equally involved, and I was involved in the developing of this with our friends in digital, in the digital office, Digital Telecare, and the National Telecare Programme. And we funded 11 housing organisations to the tune of, you know, over £200,000. to start making these transitions and to be learning. So analog to digital, yep, that's an absolutely huge thing.
Geraldine, I'm getting on a bit, 63, maybe in 10 or 15 years' time, I'm going to need some technology in my home to look after me. I'm not going to expect my children to do it unless I haven't got a choice, because they've got their lives to live. So I'm hoping that I'll be wearing something that tells somebody somewhere that I'm about to fall over. I'm hoping that if my heart rate either gets too fast or too slow, that somebody's going to notice somewhere else in a centre somewhere, and they're going to alert a doctor or a nurse. I'm hoping that if I'm not eating enough, somebody will notice, or if I'm not drinking enough, or if I'm not going to the toilet enough. And I'm also hoping that if I can't manage to go to the toilet myself, that I'll be able to go and sit in a fancy machine that'll wash and blow dry me while I'm doing what I have to do, rather than have a care worker come in and do that for me. So when will that happen? When will we get to that stage when I can be looked after, not completely by machines, but looked after in terms of sending data about my condition to the people that need to see it, so that crises are averted and I can stay healthy and I don't fall and have a premature death as a result? You know, when can you do that for me, Geraldine?
Okay, well, Jimmy, hopefully that's quite a few years ahead. And I suppose that's one of the things about technology-enabled care that we're looking at, you know, and why it's so important that we're all joined together, because what you're talking about there is telehealth and telecare, or whatever the reimagined look of telecare will be in the future, and what's built into housing. So that's why I'm saying that part of the programme that we're doing at the minute is very much trying to join these closer together. And our digital health and care strategy that was released there in October certainly shows ways that we're hoping to try and do that. In terms of sharing data, we already have some really great initiatives out there. I'm sure some of your listeners will be familiar with what's happening up in Alban Housing and how they're doing a kind of thing similar to what Heather was speaking about, ARMED, but where they're looking at building this into the house so that there's a whole range of different supports that are available. With the broadening out of Near Me, yep, all kinds of opportunities coming there. A data strategy is being developed at the moment, so hopefully that will overcome some of the concerns and give people more control over their data, because unlike yourself, Jimmy, a number of people are still apprehensive at that idea of, you know, over-monitoring. And so it has to be things that everybody feel confident at and at the right level when it's needed, so that we're not making people dependent or encouraging them down a route that they're not ready to take. So when will all this be utopian world of technology-enabled care? I cannot give you a date, but I do think that we're making progress of working towards it. I really do.
I myself was apprehensive of putting an Alexa in the kitchen. I just didn't think that the thought of being listened to all the time was necessarily a good thing. But once it's in, the door opens very quickly, and I've now got one in another couple of rooms. I guess I was just going to ask Heather a similar question. Any upcoming innovations in the pipeline at Loreburn? Like, where do you see tech going next?
I think the technology is there now. I mean, you know, part of the ARMED equipment would also, in the same way that Fitbits do, you know, they can tell you what your heart rate is, your resting heart rate, whether you've been sleeping properly. The technology is there. I think apart from getting clients to trust all this equipment, the people that are administering this, the people that are monitoring this, need to be competent and confident with this as well. And I think there is that there's a bit, you know, we're not all joined up and we're not all in the same place. I mean, we have customers that are really concerned about activity monitors. They can see a wee light flashing and they think we're videoing them. people are much, much more switched on and interested now in what's possible. The technology is there. We just have to get the right technology in the right place. And it's definitely there. I mean, I can't tell you about our development team, but I know they're already looking at it. But we're looking at passive housing, obviously, but they're already looking at some of the initiatives that you're talking about there, Geraldine, you know, where you can tell whether the temperature is too much and all that sort of thing. That technology is way above me, but I know that our guys are already looking at that. There's lots and lots happening with this, you know, the checking somebody's weight, their sleep pattern, their mobility, whether they're actually sitting in a chair moving their arms or whether they're actually getting up and going for a walk. That's all there. You know, you can get gadgets now. We can see what Hive does and these new alarms on doors. Everything's there. It's really confusion. There's so much happening at the same time. And to know, I mean, for us ourselves, to know what's best for you, it's so confusing running through all this stuff, but it's there. You know, you can check on your mother to see whether she's moved in the house or whether she's gone to the loo. You can check how many times it flushes. We can check whether the bath's been run. We have equipment that can say, has the bath overflown? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Is the floor wet? Everything's there, but there's a massive amount of technology. And to get people confident and actually trust it, there still is a wee bit you find in places that there's still a wee bit where it's almost like electronic babysitters. And I have to say, I mean, a few years ago, I was probably the same, you know, there's nothing ever going to replace a face, you know, a physical body. But as this technology comes online and people get more and more used to it, COVID has definitely shown the advantages. We've got two brand new systems of telecare. We'd gone for Tunstall early on with two developments, and it was state of the art, way out in front. It was a touch screen. It was a video door entry. Our tenants in those properties can actually now video call each other as well. They can video call us. Initially, that there was some real frustrations that, you know, customers were, it's too complicated, I'll never manage that. And what happens if you can't see it properly? And if you've got arthritis and you really can't manage the buttons. But we get around that, you know, we look at that individually for each customer. And if that doesn't work for you, then we can get something else. We can add that in. For some that really can't manage that handset, we have a different device that actually looks like a big pendant, and they can just press the middle of this pendant and they can speak to the door. They can't see it in the same way, but if, you know, for visually impaired people, that's what the issue was. They can still speak to the door. The near me, we're using near me. We haven't used it so much for our service because they've got us on tap. We're there, we can see them. We have helped customers to get in touch with a doctor with near me, and certainly in general needs, we have a lot of the staff have been speaking to customers through near me. They've also been sort of providing mobile phones and tablets for those that were struggling through COVID. So I think a lot of this is it's there.
Geraldine, it sounds as though the change is happening. It sounds as though Heather's pinpointed one of the major issues, which is getting everyone to work together. In that they had a telehealth suite which didn't work because it just wasn't possible to organise everyone to use it. So that's your big challenge, isn't it? How are you going to take this forward?
Yeah, it absolutely is. So again, I mentioned the tech community. And so one of the things that, as well as having peer support, we have subject matter experts that come. And going back to you, Jimmy, and what you were saying about when you're older and wanting the health and everything linking in. So at our at various different meetings we've had, for example, those who are leading on the remote health monitoring and specifically saying how can we make this good for you in housing? We've had Ricky Evershult, who's leading on the social care work, and she's come along and she's shaping that program in tech. And again, it's saying, right, okay, what are the challenges here from your perspective within housing? How do we start to look to break that down and to build this together? Now, that's a huge, you know yourself, Jimmy, you know, from all the work that we've been doing, that's huge, having people coming and saying, let's do this, let's work together. In some of the analog to digital changes that we've funding calls that we've figured out, we've been specifically asking people if they would look at partnership working. And so we've had bids that have come in from housing, either as the lead or as the partner, and health and social care, or housing department within local authority and housing association and HSCP. So that partnership working thing, we're really working so hard on. One of the things that we're exploring at the minute is with the new fire regulations coming in. You'll know yourself that although it needs to be interlinked within the house in terms of the regulations, the smokes and the heat, that's not great whenever you need the link to the alarm receiving centre, because, you know, and telecare units don't interlink, you know, in general needs housing with dispersed. So we're actually having conversations with HSCPs and housing to do some trials around, okay, how do we put something else in so that we don't bombard that person? We take a person-centred approach so that they can have one set of devices in, but that is linked using a relay interface to the telecare, so that this person still gets the alarm receiving centre. So the regulations are met, but also critically, that person who maybe wouldn't be able to take appropriate action if there was an emergency would be able to do it. So yeah, so partnership working really, really key to what we're trying to do. And, you know, and that's coming because, you know, the folk who are in housing within the tech community are saying, this is what we need, this is what we want. So,
Geraldine, Loughborne are, we've heard, doing great work in this sector, but they're far from alone in that. You mentioned earlier, I think it was the Fit Home from Alban. Was that the development?
Yes. Yeah, so Alban has been really trailblazing on this work. It's fantastic what they're doing. And so originally, they were supporting folk with purely folk who had made that transition, you know, who have a disability and who were living independently now. But their work is now progressing so that some ex-offenders who are coming out, or some through care children who are moving from a fostered situation. So they're looking at using it in lots of different situations to find out how it feels for those folk, what impact it's making, and very much looking at how that data is used and used as tech for good that could be used wider within the sector. We have, you know, the big organisations like Blackwood, who've been doing all kinds of wonderful things in terms of both the design of the house, the technology that they're embedding, and also their CleverCog system. They're now looking at robotics and stuff like that as well, and just looking at what the art possible is. But, you know, we also have organisations like Kingdom and Eildon who are using StoryCare, so looking at different ways of capturing people's what's important to them and how we achieve that, and in terms of management. We've got lots who are now looking at, you know, using those devices that they got through Connecting Scotland to be doing virtual meetups for tabletop gardening, or, you know, whatever that might happen to be. And then, of course, that huge amount of work that everybody's doing on that move from analog to digital. So there's all kinds of things that are going out there, Kieran, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it could be the tech toolkit training. It doesn't have to be some big, huge project. Mm-hmm. It can be a dip your toe in the water. It can be upskilling your staff a bit. And even before that, Kieran, we've been, you know, through the programme, we've linked in with Stirling Uni, through the housing studies course with Vicky McCall. And so we've been doing lectures for the university students there so that people will be thinking tech, you know, before their next stage of the career kicks off.
We're going to wind this up soon, but Geraldine, do you have any resources or information that you can provide to people who are interested in this and taking it forward?
Yeah, I'd really love people to go have a look at our website. So that's www.techhousing.co.uk. And we're also on Twitter at Housing Tech. And people can get in touch through the SFHA. And whether that's to do with the broader tech and housing programme or wanting to look into how they could use Near Me, either, just please get in contact. That would be great.
Well, many thanks to Heather in Loughborne, to Geraldine in the SFHA, to my co-host Kieran Finlay at the Scottish Housing News, and we'll be back again in a couple of weeks with yet another Scottish Housing News podcast.